This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:44, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Lights of the Crescent City Connection flickering red, green, and white in honor of St. Joseph's Day. I hope you get out and have a great day. The weather's going to be perfect for that. Highs of 79 today. It's a little bit warmer, more humid outside right now, 64 degrees. Then cools off tomorrow, 66, 67 on Friday for a high. And then the weekend highs in the mid-70s and plenty of sunshine, so get out and enjoy it while you can. Senator Bill Cassidy joins us now. Dr. Mr. Senator Bill Cassidy. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy Tucker. I'm really good, man. Coming into the city, looking forward to it.
All right, good. Let me start with this, because I saw the bill that you and Fetterman put forward. Tell me about that, if you will.
Which one? The Fentanyl bill?
Protecting Students on Campus Act.
Oh, yes, gotcha. There's been outright cases of assault upon Jewish students on college campuses where they would, for example, the Jewish students would barricade themselves in a room and people would be pounding on the door trying to come at them, not letting them cross the quad to get to their classes. I can go on. Mm-hmm. Now, this was specifically targeted at Jewish students. So what we are doing in our bill is establishing a definition of anti-Semitism and holding the universities accountable for it and making sure the students know where to call if they are subject to such assaults. And then, if you will, alerting them to their rights and then triggering an investigation by the Department of Justice.
Let me read you some of your words, some of John Fetterman's words. No one should fear for their safety at school because of who they are. Bipartisan bill holds universities accountable to address discrimination, maintain a safe learning environment for all students. And your fellow Senator Fetterman said the bill's about protecting young people facing discrimination on college campuses, making sure they know their rights, increasing rates of discrimination, including harassment, hateful speech, instances of vandalism have left students feeling unsafe and threatened based on their race or what country they're from, particularly over the last couple of years. Colleges need to do more to protect students, help them find paths to recourse. The only thing I thought of, Senator, I don't know how Senator Fetterman, that sounds weird saying it that way, huh? Senator Fetterman feels about that, but I know parents with gay students, I know parents with children, I know parents with trans children, and they feel as though their children aren't safe on campus as well. Would this bill address that as well, or is it just about Jewish students?
This is about Jewish students, but I will point out that universities have made a lot of efforts to make sure that kids, for example, gay students, are feel welcome. Mm-hmm.
I'm just drawing a line between, and this is what parents tell me, not about feeling welcome, but just not being hassled and not being threatened, right?
Yeah, and so to complete the sentence, yes, that very thing. Not to be assaulted, not to be picked upon, not to be isolated, et cetera. So universities have actually kind of made an effort to do that. For whatever reason, they had a blind spot to Jewish students no student should feel persecuted or beat upon. It is appropriate that universities are making sure that the environment does not permit, encourage, whatever.
Well, I know we got more to talk about, and I understand now. I get what you're saying. You're saying that the universities have taken steps in that direction. They just need to also make sure they take the same steps with Jewish students. Accurate?
Yes.
Gotcha.
And they were, for example, lukewarmly condemning the effects, but the fact they would allow these quote-unquote protesters to stay on the campus for an extended period of time, continuing to do this sort of activity, showed that they had just waved the white flag and come pick on our students.
Yeah, we're on the same page. We're just saying it differently, I think. Let's talk about fentanyl.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Yeah, so 74,000 Americans died from fentanyl overdose last year. Everybody listening to this program right now knows somebody who's either addicted or knows of somebody or someone who's died from fentanyl. And so the way that the cartels and criminals have tried to get around the law is they'll make a fentanyl lookalike. Not technically fentanyl, but it still addicts, it still kills. So we've put forward a bill saying that if it is a lookalike or if it's fentanyl, either way you're going to jail. If it addicts like fentanyl, if it kills like fentanyl, it's fentanyl for all practical purposes. By the way, we also allow medical researchers to say, well, wait a second, if this is a fentanyl lookalike, maybe there's something good about it. So we permit that research, but if you're a criminal distributing, you get the same penalty as if it's fentanyl itself.
Senator, I've been divorced a while, and I'm not dated that many women, but of the six or so I've dated, four lost adult children to opioid overdoses, some of which involve fentanyl, and that to me doesn't seem like a coincidence or just that I happen to. I think the problem is huge, I guess, is the point I'm saying, so I know firsthand what you're talking about. Let's talk about the spending bill and debt and deficit, year-to-year debt accumulating. And I understand that we pick and, we look at things that are politically popular to people like, okay, let's attack that. Maybe not where the real money is. You do have to start somewhere. How do you balance all of that with actually doing something about the deficit and the debt? And you know where the real, because you tweet every day, Social Security is still in trouble. You know where the real money is going. How do you fix it?
Yeah, so the president in his address to Congress said he wanted to balance the budget. And I'm taking the guy seriously. Mm-hmm. And so, and there's different ways to do it. But we're doing a tax bill now. We've got to make sure that the tax bill doesn't make it worse. DOGE, obviously, some of DOGE is fantastic. Some of DOGE is, I'm not sure about it, mm-hmm. but they're trying to cut expenditures. That's a good thing. And that's a very good thing. And then we still got to fix Social Security in a way that doesn't cut benefits, but in a way which actually preserves it long term. And Tommy, we've talked about that before. That's mm-hmm. what I'm pushing as well. You put it all together and we can get to where our budget, our debt is in a lot better position. I'm all about that. We don't want to mortgage our future, our children and grandchildren's future.
But you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And I have a hard time believing that when it comes to Social Security. Tell me how you can fix Social Security, you can cut Medicaid spending, you can fix the big entitlement programs without true political leadership, where sometimes even Republicans are going to have to be worried about not the next election, but the next generation.
So let's talk about Social Security. I've got what I call the big idea. We create an investment fund separate from the Social Security Trust Fund, separate. We put $1.5 trillion in it over 5 years and invest it in the broader economy, the stock market, real estate, you name it. When that account grows, just like a 401k, a massive 401k, it grows over time, and we can use that money to bail out Social Security. It's not privatizing social. All risk is borne by the fund. We still pay the guaranteed benefits. So folks will get their social benefits even when the trust fund goes bankrupt in 8 or 9 years. But what this does, over time, as that account grows, it is remarkable what you can do. So one, we address the unfunded accrued liability of Social Security. Two, we can repeal the retirement earnings test, which people perceive as a tax, where if you're on social but you go back to work, you get like a $1,000 penalty on your Social Security check. We repeal that. We can give a credit up to 5 years for someone who takes time off to take care for their child who's under 6 years of age. So we do some really good things that are pro-family, pro-work incentive, but at the same time, we address the unfunded accrued liability. We got to think imaginatively, and that's what I'm trying to do.
You can't do it by yourself. You think you got the support to get it done?
Yeah, so we've got a number of senators and members of Congress who are very interested in this. Biden wasn't interested. I won't go into why Biden wasn't interested. But we're pitching it to the Trump team, and we think it works for them. Now, one thing that Trump talked about in the campaign is using revenue from oil and gas drilling to help pay for social. So what we do is we say, okay, we're going to start drilling off the coast of Louisiana. We'll use that revenue and put it into the investment fund, and that just supercharges it and gets us higher faster. By the way, that also creates a lot of jobs in Louisiana and does wonderful things for, like, local government as well. So it's kind of a win-win for Louisiana.
Still, U.S. debt and deficit worsened during the first month of President Trump's administration, passing $1 trillion through the first fiscal year. We're talking about deficit now, and it's not even at the halfway point. Is this going to take a long time to fix or not?
Yeah, so the fact, 10,000 boomers a day become eligible for Social Security and Medicare. So you mentioned earlier, we got to address that. We got to pay those benefits, but at the same time, make sure that we do it in a fiscally responsible way. And that's why I like my big idea. We continue to pay the social benefits, but we do it in a way in which we've got a strategy to bail it out long term. So it's not overnight, but if you look at the numbers, if you look at the spreadsheet, it works. And so that's what we just got to think creatively.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Senator Dr. Mr. Bill Cassidy. We'll take a break. Come back right now. Traffic, WWL.